So every year, we come to this place, this mountaintop experience of Jesus and Peter and James and John, and we wonder, what does this mean? Not just the rising from the dead, but the transfiguration. And what I was caught by this year was the word terrified. All three of the synoptic gospels say terrified. Now, often we as preachers, what we do is we calm this whole thing down and say, it was awe. They were just struck in awe. But I want us to think about what happened that day. This was Jesus who they knew, flesh and blood Jesus, who walked and talked with them, who Peter had just, in some verses before, claimed him to be the Messiah. So they had an earthly understanding of Messiah, of Jesus. And they got up to the top of the mountain, and there he was transfigured before them. Still flesh and blood Jesus, but something more. It was so beyond their comprehension that they were terrified by what they saw because they could not grasp what that meant. And Peter was trying to control it by, hey, let's build some homes. You know, let's normalize this event that's happening in front of us that we have no clue what this is. Terrified. And every time we hear that the angels came, the first things they say are, do not be afraid. Because it is so out of our realm of understanding that the first reaction to this unusual event is to be afraid. And they were terrified. But why have it there? Why tell us the story of Jesus transfigured on the mountain with Moses and Elijah present? Why did all three gospel writers feel the need to tell us this particular story? What is so important to us to know about Jesus? But there's also something else, not just to know about Jesus, but our encounter with Jesus. So first off, it helps us understand totally God, totally human, doesn't it? That Peter, James, and John get to see him transfigured. But then there's that relational piece. They get to see. They get to experience Jesus in a way that none of us have ever experienced. That they had never experienced God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They had a mountaintop experience. And why are mountaintop experiences so personal? Have you ever had one? Had one of those moments when you and Jesus or you and God were just so in one, in sync with each other in prayer or wherever it happened? Have you had those moments? No? Yeah. Have you tried to describe them? You can't, can you? There's no words that you can put into the language that can help anybody understand what that moment was like. But what does that moment do for us? What does it do for us to have Jesus in all his glory in front of us? It gives us hope, doesn't it? It gives us hope. Because a God who is so beyond what we normally expect, so beyond our own senses that we don't have the right words to say, to explain it, means that God is well above and beyond anything this world can do. God can do more. To have a God who can walk on water, a God who brings a prophet up into the heavens without his death, a God who resurrects from the dead. You know, they were wondering, what is this? What does rising from the dead mean? You know, now they've seen him transfigured. What's this rising from the dead mean? This is a God that the world cannot control. But God can control the world. God can bring healing to the world. And God can bring love to the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. My favorite thought of Jesus and Moses and Elijah is in Matthew, he talks about when he's questioned about the greatest commandments, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. And he says, and hung on those two laws are the laws and the prophet. So love is the thing that hangs the laws and the prophets. So there we had Jesus, Moses, Elijah, love, law, prophet. And when the disciples looked again, it was only Jesus. It was only love. And God's words to them were, listen to him. Listen to him. So what does Jesus say? Jesus says to love, doesn't he? Jesus says to go forth and proclaim the gospel message of salvation. Yes, there is repentance in that message of salvation, that we have to repent and turn towards God. But it's also the message of love. The message of love can transfigure and transform the world. Now, Peter, James, and John were told that they could not tell anyone what they had seen until he had risen from the dead. Well, Jesus has risen from the dead. And we, as followers of Jesus Christ, have had these moments when we know the reality of God in our life, right? Those mountaintop moments to bring us light in the midst of our own personal darkness. But the world is a really dark place right now. And they need some transfiguring light and love. So Lent is coming up. And this is my call out to all of you, that you spend some time in this Lenten time to be with your Lord. Allow that light to pour in you to get rid of the darkness that the world has tried to give. Because remember, this is a God who transfigures. This is a God who walks on water. This is a God who created the universe. He can do what God wants to do for bringing love into this world. But what he's asking us to do is to participate. If we are following Christ, we are to participate in the transformation of the world. We are to be the messengers of God's love. But Lent is a time when God can give us practices to keep us grounded in that love. We can be in the mountaintop because we know that at some point we have to go down to the valley. The work isn't going to happen up here. The work inside of us might, but the work we're called to do happens down in the valley. As soon as they came down off the mountain, they came across people with demons and disciples who couldn't heal them. And the first thing Jesus had to do was to heal people. Our work is in the world for a God who loved the world, a God who created the world, who calls us to be transformed by that love so that the world can be transformed through the love that we give, the love that comes from us and through us into the world. Y'all might have had a favorite stuffed animal, and you know how much that stuffed animal loved you. Some of us have had flesh and blood animals that have been that unconditional in their love for us. God asks us to have unconditional love for the world, a world that needs a little transfiguration. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.